Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Ah, Uncle Jaseneb, life, liberty, prosperity, yet another decree stolen from you and me. The ancestors of the Nile Valley left us other messages too, like, let food be your medicine, and let your medicine be food.
Why is food and drugs under the same administration? They putting drugs in the food to keep money accumulating now. They like to call it additives and preservatives, slowly killing everybody that purchases it. Can you pronounce what's on the back of the label? Then that shit we need to keep off our dinner table now. The food is what's fueling these diseases, paying rich doctors all these medical fees, but they never cure you, they just keep you in need, cut you open for surgery and let your pockets bleed. See, we got away from what we used to eat. We forgot we were kidnapped and forced to eat meat. We ate from the earth, so we communicated with it. We cut the conversation, now check the situation. See, blacks the leaders in heart disease, cancer. We give them money like pills is the answer. Damn, I'd be wrong if I didn't pass the info. Hormones in the food got you thinking like a nympho. Wonder why all these young girls so thick, like a baseball player. Steroids is it. They got it in the vegetables, the fruit, the meat, and all the fast food they be selling in the street. It's a war going on, and our diet must reflect it. We all got the power, we just gotta direct it. Neglect it, never. Refer to the metal nature that them whole tests the father of medicine.
Peace, family. Thanks for joining us again for another edition of Food for Medicine. I am one half of your host, Kenya Jones, and I'm going to bring my sister, Dr. Asisi, in. Are you there, my sister?
Yep, I'm here. Peace, everyone.
Peace, greetings. I got it right this time. You know, they done reformatted the board and everything looks different. So
right.
I was hoping I did it right this time, because last week, I thought I was talking, you thought, you know, it was just crazy. But great,
yes,
family, mm-hmm. I know we did miss you. And how was your week, sis?
My week was really good. I just been busy. I've been doing things that I usually do, doing my community health day, just seeing patients, acupuncture school, pretty much the same stuff. And I've been having a few celebratory weekends, too, just because I've had a few friends that had birthdays and, you know,
awesome.
and then like my school, we were on spring break. I mean, I don't even know what spring break is for adults anymore, but they had us on spring break. And so I was like, okay, good, so I don't have class. So I went on a trip, you know, I actually got to see this place in Arizona called Montezuma's Castle. For those of you who don't know, so the native people out here, they built similar cave dwellings, or like those houses that were basically built into the side of mountains, kind of like how you see a lot of our African ancestors that did in places that were more mountainous. And they kind of almost looked like Dogon houses, but they were like in the side of a mountain. Like, you know, they were kind of made out of mud and they had the little windows cut out. And I was like, shoot, like, I wonder who taught them how to do that. I wonder if we was over here, you know, there's some African people over here that were, you know how we had a lot of ancestors that came over here to the mm-hmm. Americas voluntarily, had contact
right.
with Native people here. And so a lot of the structures that you see in Native American populations, or like the ancient structures, they look like things that you would see on the continent. So it was really interesting. So anybody that hasn't been to Montezuma's castle and seen like the little cave dwellings that they have that's in the area, definitely go and check it out. That was really cool. And it's a place in Arizona where the river is, so it's not desert. There's actually places in Arizona that are not desert. It's lush and, you know, there's a lot of vegetation. So
yes.
I was blown away. I was like, yes, I need river. I need to be by Yeye sometimes. And so it was a treat
yes.
to go. Yes. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds awesome, sis. Wow. I need you
mm-hmm.
to go ahead on and suck up some of that energy for me and some of that sunshine, because it's just been gloomy and raining and tornado warnings for the last couple days. So I thought we were in the clear for rain, even though it was gloomy, and all of a sudden, boom,
right.
we just started thundering. I'm like, ah.
Right.
So, yeah. But yes, I just, you know, brain break, that's how awesome. But for those of you who are new to the show, I do want to welcome those who are coming in and who are listening on the line. You're in for another treat. Yeah, I mean, we're coming up on our 2-year anniversary next month, too, so that's pretty exciting. We have to try to figure out something special to do to celebrate.
I know, right?
Right. But I do want to let all of you know that we are on every Friday here, and there is a whole slew of archives with great information that you can always go back on and listen. Go like our like page, Food for Medicine, on Facebook. And my sister, go ahead and give them your, you have your practice, your like page for your practice as well, for those who might want to, like, you know, go ahead and do that. They might as well.
Right. Okay, so so peace, everyone who has been with the Dynasty family. Those who are new, welcome. My name is Dr. Phoebe Adiro, and I'm a naturopathic physician, which means that I'm a primary care physician who uses holistic therapy such as hydrotherapy, acupuncture, and then my passion being diet and nutrition and botanical medicine in order to bring the body back into balance. Because in my opinion, if your diet is jacked up and not supportive to you, then pretty much any therapy on top of that is not going to be as effective. So that's why me and my sister bring this information to you weekly so that you can, you know, take be armed and ready with that to heal yourself.
Yeah.
So, welcome.
Okay. Welcome. Mm-hmm. And I am Tina Jones. For those of you who are not familiar with me, I am a nutritionist, an herbalist, and food for medicine, and using natural ways to kill the body is a passion of mine as well. I've always been intrigued with the body, and I have also used food to heal myself from different, you know, illnesses that I thought I was just predisposed to because, you know, it runs in my family, but that isn't always true, and you can heal yourself. So this is another great topic today, but natural skin nourishment is the topic for today. And this is a good one. Because everybody got skin. You know, everybody might not have diabetes. Everybody might not have high blood pressure. But we all got skin.
Right.
And we all need to know how to nourish it. So this is going to be a great show. I know people with certain things, you know, going on with their bodies and certain, you know, their skin breaking out and rashes and eczema and stuff like that. So I know you're going to bring it. And like I always tell the family who's listening in, always bring your pen and your pad so you can write down this information. And if you don't have your pen and pad ready, you can always go back to the archives and get information. And pass this on to your friends and family because sometimes we might not need that information at that time ourselves, but we might know someone who can benefit from it. So what brought you to this topic today, sis?
Well, like always, I'm inspired by things that I encounter, whether it be questions from patients or, you know, people who message me on Facebook, or even just things that I experience myself. But this particular topic, it was a combination of both because in Arizona, even though we have a lot of sun, it's nice and bright and fabulous outside. Along with the sun, because the desert is this very dry place, it also sucks the moisture out of your skin. So while we're also experiencing the sun, we're also experiencing a time when our skin is very dry. At least I know my skin has been noticeably more dry. And, you know, it's just, you know, it gets kind of irritating. So then I'm more conscious about the things that I do to improve the moisture of my skin, like drinking more water. Making sure I'm increasing certain foods that will nourish, you know, the skin, but also my whole body. So it really starts from the inside out, and we're going to talk about that. So I've been experiencing the attack of the dryness on my skin.
Me too. This whole, like here, we have really harsh winds in the, winter time. It is so drying. Like everything is dry. My hair is dry. My skin is dry. And it seems so hard to keep it hydrated. You know, it's just been that always has been something that I have not perfected yet. And I'm all ears because I need some. And right now my skin's still trying to recover. And it's just now we're starting now to get a hint of spring, even though, but it's still cold here. It's like in the 30s and 40s most days. So I'm ready.
Oh yeah, I'm ready too. Yes, for sure. And and just real quick, for those of you who don't know, and just to remind those of you who do, this is a live call-in show. So if you are wanting to ask a question or make a comment on our discussion today, just call in this number, 646-716-7572, and you'll be prompted to press number 1 if you have a question or a comment. But if not, then just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Also, like my sister said, just make sure you have a pen and pad ready because I give a lot of information. So
yes,
write it down, as quickly as you can because I go fast sometimes. But even if you miss
and that's why I always, like, if I'm not clear on something, sisters, if I need the spelling of something, I say, sis, what's the spelling? So y'all better do the same because I know a few people always ask me, like, what'd you say? I was like, why you ain't raise your hand on the inboxing from some people try to get recap, you know, or certain things they didn't like. How do you spell that? You know, that's why I always say, sis, like, hold on, I'll write my notes. How you spell that? So I can go back and do my research and see how to go about getting that. So, yes, I'm ready, sis. So, whenever you're ready.
All right. Yes. All right. So, I'm going to get right into it because I always have a whole bunch to give you guys. All right. So, nourishing the skin naturally. So, the first thing I like to do is just give us a point of reference to start at, just to build from. And the thing that I want us to remember or to understand first off is that the skin is an organ. You know, it's an organ like any other organ in our body, but it's the largest organ of our body. And it's not only this thing that encases our internal structures. It's not just that, you know. It's not just this thing that protects them from external, you know, offending agents, which is a very important function. These are kind of the things that we only associate the skin with, you know, encasing internal structures, protecting us from external agents, you know. But it also does things like detoxify the body. It also helps us with temperature regulation. It helps us with repelling water. Remember, the skin is water repellent. Our skin also is that sensory barrier that allows us to experience our environment. You know, we experience our environment through touch. You know, we experience our environment through temperature, pain, pleasure, and many other sensations. All of those sensations that we are able to use are from our skin. And like any other organ of our bodies, our skin requires nourishment for optimum functioning. And with that being said, we are often bombarded with ads and commercials. I mean, you turn on the TV, even if you don't watch TV, like me, I don't watch TV, I don't even have cable. I don't even have time if I wanted to. But if I'm watching something even on YouTube, you know, they're bombarding us with commercials on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And we're always shown these ads and commercials for topical skin improvement. Even when we go shopping, we see these ads for topical skin improvement products, you know, and those products usually focus on slathering something on top of the skin that supposedly will improve the quality of the skin. But this, just like the approach itself being superficial, the benefits of those products are usually only going to be superficial and will only give you superficial results. And essentially, you will have to either continue using that external supplement or that external product to keep the skin problems associated with that away, or you'll find out that they just don't plain work. You know, they just don't work for you at all. You might have a reaction to it. They may not have any kind of benefit. And, you know, you will find that none of those products really help to heal the skin once and for all, because when you have a skin problem, that's essentially what you're wanting. You're wanting to heal the skin, whether it be dry skin, whether it be blemished skin, oily skin. You're trying to heal the skin. And those topical products are just things that get rid of a symptom. Pretty much the same approach like allopathic medicine, where you're given prescription medications, drugs, things, procedures that are going to get rid of a symptom, not really getting to the root cause of why you're experiencing that manifestation of ill health in the first place. So the real way to improve your skin health is from the inside out. And the best way to build the best foundation for skincare is through our diet. Yes, diet is foundational. I don't care what it is. You can pretty much heal any disease process or, you know, get to the most optimal state of health for you through your diet. And our diets are important because we can either do two things. So the first thing that we can do, which is the most optimal thing to do, is that our diets can either bring our bodies vitamins, minerals, essential fats, amino acids, water, sunlight, you know, all these things that are crucial for health to exist. We can get that through our diets. Or our diets can either provide the body with elements that slow metabolic function, that accumulate waste and toxins, and that irritate and infect or inflame the body, which are all conducive to the decline of health. So our diet's going to do either one of two things. Either it's going to bring us health and vitality, or it's going to decline our health and vitality. So look at your diet, look at your lifestyle, and determine whether or not it's doing one or the other. And that's the first step in making your skin healthier and your whole body. But your skin is just a manifestation of what's going on the inside. So once you get your body healthy, you know, your skin will also, you know, reflect that inner health as well. So today what we're going to discuss is how our diets can nourish our skin naturally. And even though the effects of a skin nourishing diet may not work overnight, like anything, like any illness, you know, you don't get sick overnight unless you were born sick, like that unfortunately a lot more people are being born sick. But unless you were in that situation, you didn't develop a disease process. You didn't develop bad skin, you know, quote unquote bad skin overnight. You developed that over a period of time through diet and lifestyle. So the same way, using our diets to nourish the skin naturally is not going to work overnight. But if you follow these steps that I'm going to outline for you consistently in at least a week, I know that for sure, you will notice some changes in your skin, positive changes. You'll either see glowing skin, blemishes will go away, irritation can go away. I promise you, these things will absolutely be seen. You will see some of these things start to happen in at least a week, and I've seen it time and time again, even in myself, because I used to have problem skin. I used to have like horrible acne, but I did have acne, and when I was younger, I used to think it was the end of the world, you know, especially during, you know, that cycle, that moon cycle time. I definitely had horrible breakouts, and it was something that I really wanted to balance in myself. So once I got older and more conscious about my diet, and that's when I really saw the changes in my skin happen. And I literally saw changes within a few days that I just started eating more salads or juicing or, you know. So you can see the results in a few days if you really commit to the changes. Now, the first thing on my list is the first of many different healing diet lifestyles that you should incorporate is that you should first drink more water. Water is just, it's one of the most important foods that we should consume. Drinking more water, you know, which all of us can use more of, because most of us are dehydrated in this country, it just helps the body function better. Because your body is, you know, our bodies are made up to like 70 to 85% water. So we need to make sure that our very watery bodies are supplied with enough water to function. Pretty much every biological process in your body, except for maybe fermentation, needs water. So if you're dehydrated, it's no wonder that it causes such a screeching halt of metabolic processes. You can link dehydration to many different health problems, but skin problems is one of the main ones. Especially if you have dry skin, it's a big sign that you're probably dehydrated. Dry skin is also linked to different health conditions, like for example diabetes, thyroid problems. And you can actually help improve the condition of those problems by just drinking more water. So when we're hydrated also, water plumps the skin. So those people who are dealing with wrinkles, deep wrinkles, or, you know, feeling like the skin isn't, you know, has lost its elasticity, lost its bounce, its turgor, its, you know, kind of its youthful texture, a lot of that has to do with dehydration. So, again, once your body has become hydrated, and again, this is not going to happen overnight, so if you're drinking good quality water, your mineral intake has to also be optimal in order to retain the water into the tissues, you know. But once you're hydrated properly, you will, over time, see an improvement in the plumpness and the elasticity of the skin, because now the cells, the space between the cells, which is this, there's this fluid in between our cells called the interstitial fluid, and if that is depleted because of dehydration, then the skin's going to be, what, depleted, and it's going to be like a, think of a water balloon that you didn't squeeze all the water out. It's going to be like all, you know, sagging, and, you know, it's not going to be plump. The same thing goes for the cells themselves. Cells themselves are made up of a great percentage of water. So they use water to fill themselves up with. So if your cells are dehydrated, they're just going to be little saggy water balloons. You know, they're not going to be plump, and the skin is going to reflect that. So again, drinking water plumps everything up. It fills it up with water. So when you drink water and you have skin problems, just think of it as you filling up your cells and, you know, the space in between your cells and your skin with this water that's going to keep everything alive and plump and youthful. So also making sure that the body is hydrated helps with elimination. So a big part of skin diseases, things like rashes and blemishes, acne, has a lot to do with the fact that the body is not eliminating toxins. So one great way to make sure the body is continuing to flush toxin, making sure the lymph fluid is not so viscous and unable to move toxins through the lymphatic system and into the elimination system, that is to drink water, because it's going to move that stuff right through. It's going to help the body to flush itself continuously of all these things that accumulate, so that it's not building up in the blood and then manifesting in the skin. So water, 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 you guys. First step in nourishing the skin. All right, so the next step after you have hydrated yourself is to consume these healing foods. So the first group of healing foods, or I guess the category that a lot of these foods would be under. And a lot of these foods, you know, I put these things in categories, but really we're just talking about eating foods that are whole and natural. Plant-based is the other part. Because the first group that I'm going to talk about are antioxidant-rich foods. And all plant foods have antioxidants. Some have them in more amounts. Other foods have different antioxidants than others. But for the most part, plants contain antioxidants. And antioxidants are the best resources your body has to fight disease as a whole, but also the aging of our skin. And it does this by reducing damage and inflammation. So remember, I talked about antioxidants in other shows before, and antioxidants seek out, they're like these little seeker outers of free radicals. And free radicals are those elements in our environment that are these kind of like rogue, you know, unstable elements that when they come in contact with our tissues, with the cells that make up our tissues, they cause cell oxidation. And cell oxidation is the sole cause of cell aging and cell death. So anytime you see degenerative diseases, when you see the skin losing its flexibility, when you see tissues in the body degrading, when you don't have as good of a X, Y, and Z, you name it, that you had when you were younger, all these age-related, quote-unquote age-related degenerations of different tissues in the body, that happens because of cellular oxidation. And so when we have skin problems, oxidation is one of those things that most of the products that are out here are trying to address. They do it topically, you know. That's the whole idea behind sunblock. You know, when people who need sunblock, of course, melanin-dominant people really don't need sunblock, because melanin, well, you can call it melanin, but really it's the carbon in our skin that makes our skin dark. That all provides a natural sunblock to the ultraviolet rays of the sun, which is why our ancestors were able to to wear very little clothes in the on the continent in certain areas and not get skin cancer, not get sunburn and things of that nature, because we were created in order to deal with the sun in that way. Other people who do not have the dominant, you know, dark skin, the melanin dominant skin, they have to do other things. First off, they lived in a place, you know, they were created in a place that doesn't have the sun intensity that Africa had. And then the other thing is when they move away from that environment, they have to create a culture and they have to create medicinal systems that protect the skin. So the whole sunblock movement and putting sunblock agents into cosmetics and into skin products and things like that is for people who don't have that natural sun protection. These can actually be very damaging to the skin of African people because our skin needs sunlight. It should not be being blocked from the sun. So if you wear makeup, if you wear skin products that have some kind of SPF, whatever, in them, that can actually be damaging to your skin. It can actually hinder you from using certain nutrients. And I'm going to get to that when I start talking about, like, vitamin D and sunlight as a part of skin nourishing. But just understand that the whole antioxidant thing, eating foods that contain antioxidants protects you. Not only does your melanin protect you, the carbon in your skin, that helps you, but it also acts as an antioxidant. And then on top of that, you are eating antioxidants in your food that also help with the actual oxidation of the cells from happening. So we can have triple protection if you want. We have melanin. You know, melanin is a sunblock. It's also an antioxidant. And we can eat antioxidants in our diet if we consume whole plant foods. So the antioxidants help with staving away skin oxidation. And also inflammation is another major cause of the formation of wrinkles and other skin blemishes and irritation in the skin as well. And antioxidants also help to fend off inflammation as well. Now, some of the best sources of antioxidants include a lot of our berries. All plant foods have antioxidants, but our berries are kind of that more jam-packed, bang-for-your-buck kind of food that we can consume on a regular basis, no matter what kind. So whatever you can have access to, get berries that, you know, for the most part are darker. Our darker berries are going to be those that are going to be more abundant in the antioxidants that we need. But any berry is good, whatever you can get access to. So things like blueberries, pomegranates, acai berries, goji berries, raspberries, blackberries are great. You can even eat things like grapes, purple grapes, black grapes, Concord grapes. Those are all going to have an array of antioxidants. And it's always best to get grapes with seeds if you can. If you can only get seedless grapes, that's okay. It's not optimal. But the seeds also contain a lot of that antioxidant-rich essential oil. We're always talking about, grapeseed oil extract and all this stuff. You don't need grapeseed oil extract. If you eat the grapes with the seeds, just crunch the seeds up and eat it. You know, make sure you crunch them up good so that when you digest them, the body doesn't have to work so hard to break open that fibrous, the shell of the seed, so it can get right to that essential oil. And that's your grapeseed oil. You don't need the extract. So berries, of course, are definitely antioxidant-rich. Also, their leafy greens are also very antioxidant-rich, dark leafy greens. So things like spinach and kale, mustard greens, chard, all of those are excellent antioxidant-rich foods to consume. Our nuts and seeds also contain a great deal of antioxidants as well. And any nuts and seeds that you like. Also, dark chocolate. And what I mean by this is really cacao. I like to recommend to people that they get raw cacao products. Because the cocoa powders and things of that nature, they can be highly refined. They are usually cooked or heated in a type of way that makes the essential nutrients in them denatured. So it's best to get raw cacao and use it in things like smoothies. You can put it in baked goods. But it's best to use it in its raw form. You can make pudding with it. You can, you know, make avocado pudding or like a coconut milk or coconut butter pudding. You know, put it in anything that you like. But, oh, my goodness, cacao is so antioxidant rich. It's one of the most antioxidant rich foods that we have access to, you know, regularly in this country anyway. It has essential oils in it. It has minerals and vitamins in it. It's very high in magnesium, very high in flavonoids, which are those antioxidant compounds. So dark chocolate is a great, delicious way for you to just add to your skin health. Another excellent skin nourishing food that I recommend people to eat all the time that are having skin issues is green tea. Green tea is a very easy food to add to your diet. I recommend people drink at least 3 cups of green tea a day. And the reason that green tea is good for the skin is because, again, it's very antioxidant. It has a natural kind of a gentle detoxification effect on the body. So along with it, so it's antioxidant and cleansing. So that is a really good combination as far as antioxidant-rich foods are concerned to add in order to nourish the skin. And people really see improvements when they are consistent with adding green tea to the diet. Those are the antioxidant-rich foods that we can consume. And then in general, like I said, eat an array of plants, whole plant foods daily. Preferably raw is optimal. That's one of the best things that you can do for your skin. And like I said, in my own experience with skin issues, this is when I really saw the changes in my skin was when I stopped eating a lot of the, you know, the refined products and started eating more fresh, whole products, most especially the vegetables and the fruits. And remember, different vegetables and fruits bring different nutrients. For example, everything has vitamin C in it, but there are some fruits and vegetables that contain more vitamin C than others. For example, the citrus group of fruit is going to have an abundance of vitamin C, more so than many other plants. Vitamin C is another really important skin-nourishing nutrient because vitamin C is integral. You need vitamin C for collagen production. Collagen is that connective tissue in our skin that allows it to be plump and allows it to have that bounce we remember that our skin had when we were little kids and babies. So when we start to lose collagen, that's when you start seeing the wrinkles. When people go to like those plastic surgeons, those like kind of outpatient plastic surgeons, what they call lunchtime procedures, and they want to fill in those wrinkles, a lot of times they're using either collagen or they're using some kind of synthetic collagen they put it in the syringe and then they inject people in those wrinkles with collagen because that collagen that used to be there under where the wrinkle formed has now degenerated. It's gone away because of, you know, improper diet into the older age. But the injection of collagen is not fixing the problem because, like you see, people have to come back in, you know, so many months or weeks in order to replenish the collagen that has, you know, been depleted. A better option to that is to just make your own damn collagen. You don't have to go and get, you know, things injected into your face which have side effects, you know, that they don't tell you about a lot of times. But not everybody can actually tolerate those injections. And sometimes those injections can go awry, you know, because you're injecting something synthetic into your face, and that's never good. So creating your own collagen is better. And the way that you do that, unless you're dead, you can still create collagen. So you do that through the diet. Eating vitamin C-rich foods like citrus fruits, oranges, tangerines, grapefruits, limes, lemons. Also, bell pepper is very rich in vitamin C. A lot of people don't know that, but they are very rich. And not green. Don't eat the green bell peppers. Eat the red, orange, or yellow bell peppers. Make sure they have color. green bell peppers are actually grown in a way that they are not ripe. Even though they get big and they look the same size as the other bell peppers, they're actually created in a way that they don't ripen all the way, so they're green. You know, anytime you see things
they're
green
acid,
in nature,
yeah.
Right, exactly, and they're acidic because of that. And anytime you see things green in nature that is a fruiting plant, when they are green, they are not ready. So unless it's a leafy green, which is supposed to be green, fruit should not be green, you know. Right, exactly. So if it's a big green bell pepper, it's still not ready. But they just modified it genetically in a way to where it stays green. So some peppers are green late into their development, such as habaneros and like jalapenos. But I've actually had the pleasure of growing these myself, and they actually turn red if you let them grow into maturity. So those green jalapenos, green habaneros and stuff like that, they actually will turn red if you let them grow into maturity. So, you know, just be conscious of that. It's a little thing, but a big thing. And, you know, it's not going to kill you if you eat a green pepper, but I'm just letting you know, ripe is always right in my eyes. So let's see. Okay, yes. So vitamin C-rich foods are very important. Some other foods that are high in vitamin C and then also are very skin nourishing, and I'm going to get into these soluble fiber and mucilaginous type vegetables as well. But these vegetables also contain a lot of vitamin C. So okra and nopal cactus, if you have access to those. Also purslane and I feel like I'm forgetting one. No, those are the three that I like. But okra, most people have access to okra. Nopal, you may not have access to it if you don't have like a Mexican, like a larger Mexican or any kind of Latin American population in your area, because these are kind of traditional in the Caribbean and like other, like in the Caribbean and also in Latin communities. So if you have those access to stores that specialize in either Caribbean or Latin food products, you might be able to find nopal cactus, N as in nighttime, O-P-A-L, and then purslane, spelled like how it sounds, purse and lane, L-A-N-E. So those, and including okra, they all have this texture to them when they're broken. That's this kind of mucilaginous fiber. And, well, it's not really a fiber, it's a polysaccharide that mucilage is. And that mucilage is very, very, very nourishing, not to, you know, just the skin. It's nourishing to the skin, but it's nourishing to the whole body. It acts as this soluble fiber that really heals the colon. And remember, skin problems manifest from the inside out. So the colon, if the colon and the other elimination systems are not healthy, that means that you are accumulating toxins. So any kind of toxic accumulation in the blood, in the bowel system, is going to manifest on the skin. So if you have sluggish digestion, if you have sluggish elimination, your skin might have blemishes, rashes, acne. All of that is a sign of toxicity. So eating these mucilaginous foods like okra, like nopal cactus, like purslane, they all help to move the elimination system along much more efficiently. They also, these greens have natural sources of silica. Silica is a mineral that is used by the body to help produce the connective tissue of the skin. They use silica in a lot of cosmetic products because it has an affinity to the skin, and it makes the skin very lustrous. It makes the skin nice and shiny. It helps with elasticity. It just gives the skin this glow. And okra was said to be eaten by a lot of the queens in like Kemet and other kingdoms in Africa because it helped to beautify the skin. And the reason that okra beautifies the skin has a lot to do with that mucilage that's in it. But also, okra, nopal, purslane, and other green vegetables. They also contain a lot of B vitamins, which are these water-soluble vitamins that are essential for the for cellular metabolism, which is the cell's ability to utilize food and nutrients and things. So B vitamins are very important. So eating things like okra every day, eating things like leafy greens, like nopal, like purslane every day are going to give us those B vitamins that we need to not only nourish the skin and make the skin healthy, but the reason it's making the skin healthy is because now the body has the vitamins it needs to even utilize those nutrients in the form of B vitamins. So definitely get up on those. Now, let's talk really quick about some foods that we should avoid. I talked about foods that we should consume. I want to talk in the middle of this, of all of this, foods that we should absolutely avoid. So first things on my list are avoiding the white foods. So things like white sugar, white starch, and white flour. These are absolutely detrimental to the body and specifically to what we're talking about today, to the skin. I've noticed, and I'm sure lots of other people have noticed, that when I consume these foods, that my skin, like, pretty much within hours would manifest the toxicity of eating these foods. Sugar was really big for me, and I know that it's very big for other people. I've seen patients that are very sensitive to sugar, and their skin is one of the first things that their body manifests as far as being very sensitive to sugar. Why is sugar so detrimental to skin health? Well, because sugar is very acidic. It's very toxifying. It's a refined carbohydrate. It's a simple. It's something that's been extracted down to its simplest form, and when we eat it in abundance in our body, it just makes things go off kilter. When you eat white sugar in whatever food it is, even if it's, you know, a teaspoon or two, you know, it's the insulin. And when you spike insulin, it just creates this havoc in the body. Not only are you creating a situation in your body to where you're storing fat, but you're also going to start storing away fat-soluble toxins and chemicals in the body as well. It also increases the stress response in the body. So when we're stressed, we are releasing hormones and other chemicals in the body to deal with the stress. And if you're eating a diet that's continuously, well, I should say this first. When we're stressed, we release these chemicals and hormones, and that's natural. We're supposed to have a stress response to things, but it's also natural for us to get rid of the stress response when there's no more stress. But sugar and starch and white flour, when we eat those things, creates this stress response, and if we eat something else, some other part of the day that also contains these refined carbohydrates and refined starches, then the stress response never goes away. So what happens when the body is constantly under stress? It starts to break down. It starts to manifest disease. It starts to not be able to heal itself. It starts to not be able to eliminate waste and toxins. So when that happens, not only do you feel like crap, your skin will also start to look that way. So, you know, so pretty much all of those foods that I mentioned, the sugar, starch, and white flour, whether it be pasta, breads, you know, I don't care if it's white sugar, sugar in the raw, turbinado, even the syrups, things like agave nectar, all these palm syrups and, you know, all these things that are not the plants anymore. You know, dried fruit, okay. You listen to your body. If you're sensitive to even dried fruit, you may need to cut that out as well because that's a concentrated sugar. But, you know, it's way better than just eating something that has been extracted from the plant. The plant's not there anymore, and now you have this syrup or this crystallized sugar product. You know, those are all refined sugars. So if you have skin problems, it would be a good idea to examine your diet, see where the sources of these foods are, and then eliminate accordingly. Because a lot of times people are eating these things but are not correlating it to their skin issues. The next thing on the list for things to avoid include animal products. Yes, animal products absolutely create skin problems. Why? Because they create acidity in the body. They create a overabundance of metabolic waste buildup in the body. Why? The first thing is that anytime you put animal protein in your body, it creates this inflammatory response. Whether it's a big inflammatory response or a small one, it always creates an inflammation. And the reason for that is because when you consume animal protein, when you consume animal protein, it is looked at by the body as this foreign substance or this foreign pathogen that it needs to eliminate, like any other bacteria or virus or parasite. So if you continually eat something every day and your body is looking at it as this constant assault, it's create inflammation, the same way that it creates inflammation when you stub your toe, when you cut yourself by accident, when you scrape yourself and it gets inflamed and red and hurts. That's going on inside your body when you consume flesh. So, and then out of all the flesh products that you can consume, the worst is dairy, because dairy is so extremely, extremely inflammatory to the body. It has these huge, if you look at dairy, if you look at milk proteins underneath the microscope, the protein molecules are huge, huge, and they cannot be properly absorbed by the body. Our bodies stop producing lactase, which is a protein that is needed to digest milk, which you stop producing after you're about 5 or 6 years old. Why? Because after your infant years, you should not be consuming dairy. You shouldn't be consuming milk. So the inability of us to produce enzymes to digest milk makes us unable to properly digest milk. You know, we can't digest it even now when we're adults. So when that happens and you have these improperly digested milk molecules or milk protein molecules going into the gut, you get inflammation. Inflammation creates the stress response, and the stress response produces this cascade of reactions that lead to tissue degeneration, that lead to autoimmunity, you know, toxic buildup because you have undigested proteins, and all of it can show up in the skin, all of it. So, you know, all that to say, animal proteins are just this really difficult thing to put in our bodies for our bodies to digest. And even if you've been eating meat all your life, you're like, oh, I don't have a problem digesting meat. I digest it just fine. You know, I eat fish and all this other stuff. Well, that may be true, but your body is just handling it. The same way that you can handle stress, you know, you can, you know, go through a day of a stressful job and come out on the other side just fine. But are you really, you know, would you rather be doing something else? You know, I'm sure your body might rather be doing something else than having to digest this dead flesh that you're putting into it. So, and then you know, of course, there's always a breaking point. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but, you know, just letting you know. So avoiding those types of foods will absolutely help your skin. And then, you know, if you're dealing with a skin problem and you're like, well, I don't really want to give up, you know, eating meat, or, you know, I may need to add white flour to stuff. Well, just do it for a short time and see how you actually feel, see how your skin reacts. And you be the judge. Don't just take my word for it, but just look at how your body reacts to the elimination of these foods for at least 2 weeks, and then see the benefits or the non-benefits, and then make up that choice in your own life. All right, so let's go back to this.
It looks like we have a caller as well with their hand up.
Go ahead.
Available.
Yes.
Okay, looks like I have area code 501. 501, what's your name and where you calling from?
Hi, it's Kalani.
How you doing?
I'm calling from Arkansas. How y'all doing this evening?
I'm doing well. Mm-hmm.
It's an honor to be in the presence. I just have I have a couple of questions if we have time.
No problem.
Sure.
Absolutely. Go ahead, sis.
Okay. Well, three. Okay, one dealing with water. One dealing with sweet, and one dealing with flesh. The one for water. I know that our body needs water. It's optimal. We have to have it. And I also know that the water that is provided by tap is not optimal. So is there like a pH balance brand or an alkaline brand that you recommend for us to consume on a regular basis?
Yeah, so I don't, it's not that I recommend any particular brand. I would actually just recommend that you consume spring water. So those any brand that you have in your area that will provide you with spring water, that's actually the best, because you don't want anything that's too alkaline or something that's very acid. So spring water, you know, because we may not all have access to an actual spring of water. Spring
right.
water is supposed to have that balance. We want balanced foods. So spring water would be what I recommend. And then, of course, the next would be, you know, if you do have alkaline water, that's okay, especially if you're actually dealing with a condition that you know that you are very toxic or you're doing a cleanse. There's nothing wrong with drinking alkaline water to kind of help move things along. But, yeah, spring water is actually what I recommend. It's what I drink myself. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so is spring water different from alkaline water?
Yes. Spring water is usually sourced from areas where they, you know, they are supposed to be, you know, and of course you have to look up at the practices of whatever brand you are buying from, but they're supposed to be sourcing them from springs and, you know, not tampering with the mineral balance the way that they do with filtered water or distilled water, you know.
Okay.
It's just supposed to be spring water. The alkaline water has been ionized or it has been enhanced in a way to make it more alkaline, like with minerals. For the most of the time, they enhance it with more minerals to make it more alkaline. So those are the differences. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, and so either one is fine. Neither one is the
yes.
best.
Yes. Yes, spring
okay.
water I would
so
recommend you drink most of the time. Yeah.
I was going to ask
okay.
a question, too, you know, because I know a lot of people say, like, if you add, like, lemon or lime to your water, it'll alkaline line it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you would recommend? Or,
like a brand of alkaline water?
No. I heard, a lot of people state that if you add, like, lemon or lime in your drinking water, it'll automatically bring the pH balance, it'll alkaline it. The actual
right.
water.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely, yes. Adding lemon juice, lime juice to your water, orange juice, those will, yes, absolutely bring up the pH. So then you don't even have to buy alkaline water. But I also like
right,
to tell
right.
people, too, I encourage people to get their water from their food anyway, because the most pure water you can get is the juice that's coming out of the foods that you're eating. So if you're eating, like, melons, watermelon, you're eating cantaloupe, you're eating fresh
mm-hmm.
leafy greens. If you're juicing, you know, you're getting actually the
yes.
water that has been filtered naturally through those plants that are going to give you the most
wow.
clean, purest water. So I suggest you do that as well. You know, make sure you can add the fruit to your water, or you can just
yes,
juice, you know, at least
it.
You know, a few times a week or something like that, you know, or just
wow.
eat watery fruits and vegetables.
Yeah. Okay. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And as far as with the sweeteners, when you said
mm-hmm.
that even agave and the syrups like maple syrup, they would send your body into a sort of a shock, for lack of better words. I thought those were the good sweeteners to use.
Right.
What about honey? Is honey, is that the same thing?
Okay, yeah, and honey is a little different just because it's not – if you get raw honey, it's not refined. It's actually the only thing that's not refined. It's not vegan either. So those of you who are very strict vegans may not want to consume honey. But honey,
mm-hmm.
if it's raw and still has, like, the wax, it's still, you know, in that solid
yeah.
state and it hasn't been filtered, that is, it hasn't been heated. It's just honey. And that is actually better than agave and maple syrup
yes.
and those other sweetener syrups, because in order to get maple syrup to look like that, they've had to boil it. They've had to boil
oh.
that natural sap from the tree. If you actually go and tap a maple tree, clear like water. That's what the sap looks like. Now, if you can get maple tree juice from that tree, that's different. But in order to make it that brown, thick syrup, they have to boil it all the way down. Like, you can get vats. They have to literally get gallons and gallons of that tree sap to boil it all the way down to make that little pint that you need. So it's very refined. It's refined just like how cane sugar is refined. And I used to love maple syrup. And I actually didn't react to maple syrup the way that I did cane sugar, but it's just, I'm just giving you the truth, you know. People who are sensitive to sugars may not be doing well with maple syrup either, or agave, the same thing in agave. I've actually seen Mexican people out here make agave. They have to do the same thing. They take the cactus and they got to boil it down, get the juice out, and then it makes this really thick syrup, which is basically like if you take sugar and boil it in a pot, it's going to turn into that thick syrup. It's the same thing.
Wow.
And your body doesn't differentiate between agave syrup and cane syrup. It just acts the same way. But honey, on the other hand, you know, it's not refined at all. It's just honey. That's if you get it raw and you get it unfiltered, you can use it. Again, it's a sweetener, so I would tell people to use it sparingly and don't, you know, this is not something you consume all the time, every single day. But, you know, if you're going to sweeten your tea or make it bake good every once in a while, yeah, use the most holistic and healthy sweetener that you can, you know. So this is just something for people to be conscious of. If you may not be sensitive to maple syrup the way that, you know, another person is, but just, you know, mm-hmm. know that if you are dealing with skin problems, try eliminating those things and seeing how your body does, you know.
Okay. And so with the honey, you said the best kind to use is the solid kind, not the
raw,
amber brown.
The raw solid honey. Because
you can
see
the wax in there too. You can see it.
Right. And the reason that it's solid, like she said, is because it still has the beeswax kind of mixed in with the honey. Mm. Because, you know, when the bees make it, they're not taking out the wax and the pollen. It has all that good stuff in there. That's why you want that.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of pollen, full of the wax, all that, the nutrient things. So it's going to be more expensive potentially, but it'll be better for you. And then also try to see if you can get it local, because if you get the local honey, then it'll have the flowers, plants in your area, and it'll be better for allergies. It'll be better for your immune system, you know,
mm-hmm.
All of that. So it's like medicine you sweeten your food with, really.
Awesome, awesome. But it still should be consumed on a sparing, a very sparing
diet. Yeah, because it's a sweetener. And then, you know, you have, like, sugar imbalance problems. You know, I wouldn't consume a lot of honey on, like, the menstrual cycle just because it can be – I mean, honey is acidic. It's more acidic food than, you know, eating greens. So you just have to be cautious with how you're using it. I use it. I use honey, but I don't eat it every day. I eat it very sparingly.
Wow. And I use it every day in my tea, every day.
No, and if you just use it in tea, it's okay. It's okay. But you know what? You can try other things like using fruits, like dried fruits can be used to sweeten things. Dates is a staple in my kitchen that I use to sweeten things with. You can also use, dates. You can also make a date paste. You can soak your dates and blend them up in a blender and just keep a jar of that date paste in your fridge for when you want to sweeten tea or whatever.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then flesh. Okay.
Yes.
So I'm a doula, and one of the services that a lot of doulas offer that I have had kind of like I'm back and forth with it. I don't know if I should offer it or not. If it's good in my spirit,
mm-hmm.
is the encapsulation of the placenta.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I have my own views on it, but some of the sisters ask about it and they think they might want it, but it's still
mm-hmm.
an organ and it's also a human organ.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your professional opinion on that?
Yes, I've researched that myself. I didn't go as deep as I have. I probably need to, but yes, I've seen benefits to sisters consuming their placenta, and so I know some sisters that didn't really see any difference in their health when they were consuming their placenta. So I would absolutely leave that up to the discretion of the mother. I don't think that it's necessary to consume your placenta. And in nature, I always like to let people look at nature. Because we're animals too, the way that everything else is an animal in nature. And in nature, the only reason that animals consume placenta, the mother will consume the placenta, is if she is very severely nutrient deficient. She will not eat her own flesh unless she really needs to. And this is out in the wild, of course, so if she needs that nutrition, she's going to do what she got to do. So unless the mother is very severely nutrient deficient and she wants that placenta encapsulated, then by all means, I mean, she can do whatever she needs to do. But for the most part, the diet should be the most foundational thing in replenishing those nutrients lost. So she can do things. I think that there are better ways to nourish the mother after birth. So doing things like sea vegetables, you know, give her Irish moss, make her Irish moss drink, give her red raspberry tea right after she has that baby. She can actually drink red raspberry tea through that labor and after the birth. I mean, I know you're very familiar with these herbs properly as a doula. You know, give her things like moringa. Put moringa in her food, in her smoothies. There are a lot of very nourishing herbs and foods that she can consume. Green smoothies will bring back the blood. Chlorophyll is going to, because she did lose a lot of blood, chlorophyll, any kind of greens are going to build the blood up, because chlorophyll is only like one, it's only one element away molecularly from being a hemoglobin molecule. So greens are very good for the mother to drink after that. So I would say give her the option. You know, you can give her the option of doing it this way or the other way. If she wants to eat her placenta, then she can. But let her know that I also have a way of building the blood back up and building your body back up through herbs and food. So, yeah. Okay. I'm always into giving people choices. Always give the sisters, the mother, a choice. Yeah.
Right. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate this show.
It's no problem.
My Friday. It's like my Friday evening. I have to have it every Friday. I look forward to it. So I really appreciate it.
Well, we really appreciate you for calling in. We appreciate
most
you.
Most definitely.
Keep doing it. And more power to you in your work, too. We need more sisters
to help.
Yes. Maybe we can get you on the show one day and give us some of your wisdom and expertise.
Yes.
I would be honored to. All right, y'all have a wonderful week.
All right, peace, sis.
All right, you do the same.
All right.
Peace.
All right, that was a great question. I'm so glad she asked
that.
Yes,
it was.
And just real quick, because we're over the hour, 4 o'clock. So I just wanted to say really quick the last part of what I was going to mention for the show. So with the skin. Where was I at? Oh, okay. I have a little list, y'all. I'll be trying to keep on my list. Okay. The other thing, so there's two more things I want to talk about, fatty acids and then cleansing. So with the fatty acids, including essential fatty acids into your diet as a part of nourishing the skin is very important, because fats are involved in improving the integrity of the skin. The cells, basically every cell in our body, especially brain cells, but we're talking about the skin. The cells use essential fatty acids to create their cell wall. So our cells are these little plump, round, donut-looking things. Or, you know, they're not all shaped like donuts, but, you know, they're these little round, plump structures. And depending on the types of fat that we consume will determine the fluidity of those the cell wall. The cell wall is supposed to be, you know, it's not supposed to be rigid. It's supposed to be, you know, flexible. So depending on the type of fats that we consume, the cells will be either fluid and flexible, and it will determine the elasticity of the kind of bonds those cells make, which means that our skin will be nice and elastic and supple and soft. So that is if we consume essential fatty acids like omega-3 fatty acids. Those are the ones that we need in abundance. Now, on the other hand, if we consume trans fatty acids, such as in fried foods, overprocessed foods, foods that have hydrogenated oils, that have partially hydrogenated oils, they will make the cells rigid. So the cells will use that fat to make their cell walls, and it'll be more rigid and hard, and they'll be stiff and dry. And the same thing will manifest on your skin. You will have stiff, rigid, dry, you know, irritated skin. So to remedy that, we need to include sources of essential fatty acids like the omega-3s
into our diet. And the way that you do that is by eating things like flaxseed, chia seed, hemp seeds and hemp oil, of course. You can use flaxseed oil too. Avocados, coconut is excellent for the skin internally and externally. You can use the oil and skin. You can make your own skin products with coconut oil. You can just, I have just slathered the skin. I mean, not the skin, the oil on my skin by itself.
Yeah.
And I love it. yeah, you can just smell like coconut. Ooh, and Arizona is bad too because
yes.
It's already hot. And if you put on coconut oil, people will be looking at you like, oh, did she just like make some coconut rice or something? Like, what is she making? Like, no, that's just me, girl. Just, you know.
Right.
So that's the best time to use it
when it's warm too, because it stays moist for your skin. It won't get off. You know, I'm used to the cold air here, so I just be all discombobulated because,
right.
I use coconut oil and my house is warm, and then when I go outside, it just, like, gets all, like, cold and it just ain't right.
Oh, okay, so the coconut oil gets cold on your skin and does it, like, harden up?
Yeah, it kind of hardens up, especially my hair.
Oh!
I'll notice the difference here. Because it's, you know, so I tend in the cold to use more olive oil, or I will mix it. Coconut oil or olive oil together so it can stop it from getting hard. Otherwise, my hair has been crunchy a few times. And
you're the first person I heard tell me that. You know, I never thought about that. You can't use coconut oil if you up north too far. Because then your coconut oil will get hard in your hair.
Yeah, you have to blend it up. Yeah.
That's interesting, girl.
This ain't our weather, though.
No, I know it's not. Man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so those are some ways. Those are some ways that you can add the essential fatty acids into your diet. Oh, also black seed oil and also black currant seed oil. So black seed is the one that comes from the black cumin, and then the black currant seed oil is, you know, of course, it comes from the currant. Those are all excellent sources of essential fatty acids that you can get into your diet. Also, leafy greens naturally also have essential fatty acids in them as well. And a lot of people don't know they have them, but they do, especially like romaine lettuce. All your lettuces have a lot of omega-3 fats in them. And then I want to talk about cleansing, and then we're going to wrap it up. Cleansing is extremely important when it comes to skin health. Why? Because blemishes, rashes, acne, et cetera, all those are signs that the blood has accumulated toxins, and that the first manifestation of all that blood toxicity is on the skin. So when you see a little pimple on your face or on your arm or on your chest, your back or whatever, that's basically just skin. That's just the skin showing you where the toxicity is in the blood. That just means that the blood traveled to that area and it just so happened to try to release in those areas where the blemishes and the rashes are coming up. So because of that, periodic cleansing can keep this at bay. You know, it can keep the blood clean. So setting up a regimen for when you cleanse your body is beneficial here. So you can either do it seasonally. I always recommend people do seasonal cleanses just because it just keeps that in check. It keeps the body from accumulating those things seasonally, but then also making sure your diet, you know, doing those things that I mentioned, keeping the diet predominantly full of whole foods and fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and, you know, and alkaline grains, and making sure that in between the time you are doing the cleanses, that will keep your blood nice and clean. Some herbs that I love for cleansing the blood include red clover, burdock, and yellow dock. And I actually sell all of those herbs in my herbal store that I have on my website at askdrdero.weebly.com. They're in tea form, so you can make your own bulk tea out of it and make your own tonics or whatever you like with it. So definitely, and I also have a cleanse that I created as well that I handmade myself called the Nkingu Clean Slate Cleanse, and you can also get that on my website, which is askdrdiro@askdrdiro.weebly.com. Or if you want to email me about any of those herbs, you can email me at askdrdiro@gmail.com, and you can ask me anything you like about those, or if you want to order the cleanse. So periodic cleansing is extremely important. If you have an ongoing rash or acne breakout or something, that's just a sign to you that your body needs a little break. You can even do something like juicing while you're, you know, having an acne breakout. If you have a rash, do some juicing. You can also do an external cleanse, like a bath. So you can do things, again, like doing a bath with red clover flower tops. Or you could do a bath with chamomile, which is very soothing to the skin and helps with irritation and rashes and itching and things of that nature. So you can do a bath with, I'm trying to think what else is good for that. You can do it with oat, like green oat pods, which is a herb that you can get from most herbal stores. That's very soothing to the skin as well. So just, but the internal cleansing is going to be the most beneficial because it's going to get to that root cause. And the very last thing I want to talk about is getting sunlight. Getting sunlight at least 20 minutes a day. I know depending on where you're at, it can be a little bit more difficult, especially if it's cold. But do what you can. The sun literally charges our skin, and it helps to synthesize and different nutrients, especially vitamin D, which when we're deficient in vitamin D, it can show up in the skin as a lack of luster, susceptibility to infection, toxic accumulation, you know, all of that can manifest. So make sure you're getting the sunlight that you need at least 20 minutes a day with as little clothes on as you can. I don't want nobody to freeze, but, you know, even if it's just like your arms, your legs, you know, do what you can to get that sunlight to your melanin so that you can charge your skin up. And then, of course, if you can't get into the sun, then eat chlorophyll-rich foods. The greens are going to be beneficial here because they harness and absorb that sun energy from being out in the sun. So the fact that you're eating the foods that are containing that energy, you're still getting that energy. So that is another reason why the plant-based, you know, whole food diet is the most optimal for skin health. So let's see. Oh, of course, that's not all I had to say. Make sure that you are reducing your stress, getting sleep, and getting exercise, because all of that is also going to help with skin health. If you are on any medications, a lot of times prescription drugs can have side effects that affect the skin. So, again, consuming a diet like the one that I mentioned, or, for example, if you want to come up with a better diet that eliminates those foods that got you on the medications in the first place, you know, you can contact me, you can talk about that, we can get you on a regimen that will get you off the medications so that then you won't have those side effects of those from those medications anymore as well. So all of that is involved in skin health. The skin is just really a barometer. It's a mirror that tells you about what's going on inside. And once you get, you know, you get your internal game together, then the skin will just manifest that rightness and that order that is inside of the body. So that's pretty much it, y'all. So I hope everyone was able to get that down. If not, go back and listen to the archives after the show ends today. And, yeah, so don't go out. Don't just listen to me, y'all. Go out there and do it. Make your skin beautiful by making your insides beautiful, for sure.
Wow, I say, that was awesome information. And I know everybody about to go out there and first thing first, start drinking your water.
First thing first, start drinking your water.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
Like Sis stated, anything that you may have missed, you can always go back to our archives and check out, and as well as other shows that we have, topics that we have touched on. And don't forget to join Dynasty Network tomorrow for Life After Christianity. And for tea, I'm sure the topic is going to be dynamic. Just take a watch the Dynasty Network like page to get the information. Also, the Life After Christianity like page. Awesome information, Sis. Enjoy
Thank
your
you.
Weekend because I'm going to do the same. I'm about to go downstairs and get my water so I can get it in today. All right, well, peace to family. And, Sis, thanks for calling in with those questions. That was awesome, especially the one about social media, because I was wondering that as well. So that was awesome tonight. So, all right, my sister, peace and love to you and peace and love to the family. We'll see you next week.
All right, peace.
Dynasty Radio, 1382.